I'm not too bad. says, thank you. God bless you with the same peace, hope, and love that you bring to the lives of others. Thank you for the gift you gave to me and Bill. You are very loving people. We love Shady Grove very much. We'd like to be with you. May God bless you always. And I think you will love Patsy and Bill Penley. So do continue to remember them. And I know that there may be some that probably everybody knows who that is. But if you don't, they were members of this church for many years. And then it just got to where that they were kind of homebound there. So it's been a long time since they got to be with us. And actually, my family, as far as me and then like my mom and dad, we don't even further back because they were at Jacob's Fork with us. So I almost can't remember not knowing Bill and Patsy. I can just barely remember, you know, sort of them first coming around. But do pray for them. Has anybody heard anything about Bill? Like, is he, has there been any
change? Patsy called me. She called me the second time. She said that. They thought they was going to bring him home with us, and no, he's not. He's not ready to come home, so he needs a lot more therapy. And so it says he has 100 days, I think, to stay there.
Okay.
Being paid. And they said he don't want to cooperate with him with therapy. He don't. But that's the only way he's going to want to have a walk, is to get that therapy and then before he can come home.
Mm-hmm.
So, in his mind,
okay.
She said she went
down there one day this week. He called her sweetheart. She had
never done it since he'd been down there. And
he
said, I think his mind kind of
coming
back to
him. Hey, amen. That's kind of the thing that I've been thinking about, because, I mean, between the two, yeah, it's bad not to have the use of your body, but when your mind's going, I mean, that's a bad situation, and that's hard on everybody. So do continue to remember Brother Bill. Appreciate hearing that the Lord is helping him in that way. Just pray that God will help him to be a little more cooperative.
He's in Lincoln now.
Right, and degrees at Lincoln. Yeah, yeah, amen. So everybody do remember that. Let's see, announcements. This Sunday this month, what is it? The preacher is coming. Is it James or Jim? I can't remember.
Jesse.
Dang it, see, I can't. I don't know, I'm not saying thank you, the pulpit's heard of that. But I can't get names this week, I'm telling you what. I missed it both times.
Jesse
Smart, yeah. And then you say that was preacher Chizzy's grandson or great grandson?
I don't know. Keith said
grandson. Great, it is great grandson. Okay, so he was here, what was it, two nights in a row with us? I know it was at least two. He comes for a while. He's going to preach for us this Sunday, Lord willing. So do remember him. Remember the youth as they get ready for that.
The Sunday before that, I forgot about this Sunday. This Sunday,
mm-hmm.
But I wasn't even thinking about that. But I had this on the 7 weeks ago. The Lord Jacob's going to do this the Sunday before that.
Oh, good.
I didn't realize that this Sunday followed it, but okay. It's happening. So it's
sure. Amen. Amen. So remember that. That'd be good to hear from Brother Dale. He's been through a lot the past few years with his wife getting sick and everything, so it'd be good to see him again and hear how things are going. When is foundation this month?
It'll be the 29th.
The 29th. Oh, yes, that's his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of, we've had to move it around several times, and now, like, my brain has lost track of, well, when is it normal?
Yeah.
I don't know. I get
it.
Last Sunday. Okay, so remember that also. As far as you know, you'll be doing that one?
Yeah.
Okay. So just remember that. So remember Preacher Dale Cable coming. And do always try to be mindful. And I know all of us, we got so much to pray for. We'll take a prayer request here in a minute. And so sometimes, I mean, it almost don't matter how much time you have to pray. It's like you can't pray at all. At least that's what it feels like to me. I don't know if anybody else is like that. But we do need to remember our missionaries, particularly the ones that we're supporting financially. I know that honors and glorifies God, and He's going to honor that investment that we make in Him. But I feel like at the same time, it's a shame when I'm willing to support Him financially, and then I forget to support Him in prayer. I mean, that just seems kind of like getting the cart before the horse, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Preacher Dale Cable and Preacher Jimmy Mercado there, and the Philippines, like the pastors that have come out of this church, and see, we got, who else do we support missionary wise? I know there's another one.
Curtis Presnell.
Oh, that's right, I forgot we took him on, so we need to pray for him, and then help sponsor some,
yeah,
some young people.
That's what,
is it?
I'm thinking his name on the second. What's his name?
In Haiti?
Yeah, yeah. Francois.
Okay.
I think he pronounced his last name.
See, I've never got to hear him because when he was here, we were preaching somewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, he didn't want that videotape because that's dangerous, and I was like, oh, my God. I can't go back and watch it.
You know, he's doing work down there.
Yeah.
And that's his people, but he doesn't speak good English.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would have been here, you would have understood most of what he said anyway. I can understand, I'm looking at all that you know.
I don't know.
It's hard to understand.
Me and Matt, that's what we do for a living. Here we go.
But I appreciate what you do. He's a blessing. You know what's amazing is it don't take very many clear words for him to get out for you to understand where his heart's at.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
amen.
So yeah, pray for him.
Amen. Amen. That's one thing that the Spirit is universal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had any questions about that, look what the Lord did at Pentecost, right?
Yeah.
And I realize that when we come into a church service, right now it's not like that. If somebody's speaking in a foreign language, we don't hear it in our own language, like the preacher was saying. Spiritually, we do.
Also, remember preacher James Sims. He's
yes.
He's going to Africa, and he went over there a couple of times, but he hasn't yet on his, I guess you might say, maybe what he did. I kind of look at all that. He went and visited. You know,
prayer, I can't.
But he's still trying to get fully funded to go over there to stay.
Yeah.
And so just pray for him and his wife. I think I was waiting that.
Yes. Oh, is it just the one? Because they had.
Maybe they got two.
I think. Because I know they had a little baby when I visited here a few years ago.
Yeah, I used to keep up with them on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I don't have Facebook anymore.
Yeah.
And so now it's just like whenever he sends me his text message update. Or something.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like less often than I'm able to know what's going on.
Amen. Amen. Do you remember these? That's one thing about it. I mean, the Lord's working regardless.
Yeah.
Whether it's somewhere where we see it with our own eyes or whether it's not, the Lord is working. And we know He still is because we're still here. When the Lord is done doing the work in the church will be gone.
Right.
So by virtue of the fact that us still being here, God intends to still do a work and He will do a work. And I just pray that He does a work in us and with us. Who's got a request of prayer? Lift a hand this morning. Amen. And remember all these. I know we got several that's sick. Remember Hannah, if you would. She's got, I don't know, might be strep. And that's like, I told them the other night, you know, you worried that you might have infected somebody, and then y'all were out. I told them, I said, well, if Brenda were here, what she would say is if somebody else gets sick, it's Tommy's fault. But there's somebody in our CC room that I'm sure Hannah was probably in closer physical proximity to. That was the same deal. They had it and didn't know they had it until like 2 days after the kids were all together. And they just kind of put out the message. They were like, sorry, guys. You know. So, I don't know. A lot of folks are sick. Brother Matt's got like a sinus thing this morning. So, pray for him. Remember AD, he's got COVID. And I think, didn't you say he was feeling pretty bad with it? So, remember him. Does anybody know? You said Miss Stephanie's sick at Parker.
Yeah.
Remember them?
She should be in the park, I think.
Okay. Well, if y'all out there, hey, we're praying for you. But, does anybody else know of anybody that's like, just a member that's sick that I'm missing here?
Robbie's sick.
Oh, is he sick? Okay, so I remember him too. Oh, and it's like sometimes my brain don't fully register. Like I was seeing you sitting there, and my brain was just not picking up on the fact that Robbie wasn't there, so. So remember all these. Continue to remember Brother Robert. I guess was his back still hurting?
Well, right now it's a stomach virus, I think.
Oh, man. You don't need that on top of everything else he did from a stomach virus. And which he has his stomach problems anyway. So, do remember him. Appreciate Miss Larissa stepping in for my wife this morning. That's always a blessing for my wife to have somebody that she knows she can call when one of the youngins are sick, you know, and somebody's able to step in. The Lord always has somebody, so we're thankful for that. Continue to remember Preacher Billy. had his skin cancer, took off, and I know Brother Charles has got some that have still yet to be done, so remember that. And appreciate Miss Vivian being able to be back. I know we've missed her all this week. And I was thinking that this morning, and I don't know, I'm not saying I'm selfish, but you know, we got several really good altos in this church. I still always miss your voice when it ain't there. You know, because I mean, when there's only a handful to begin with, and you're missing one, I mean, that's, you know, that's a big deal. So just appreciate Miss Vivian being here, and her and Preacher Billy's faithfulness always to the church. I was going to mention also, I know Miss Teresa and Brother Robert got a trip down east to make here in the next little while, and maybe they're not necessarily, maybe necessarily looking forward to. Just pray the Lord give them traveling grace. They were asking for prayer on that. And in like manner, remember Miss Terry and Dale as they're going down to see Kent, which if some of you maybe weren't here, you don't know. He was supposed to have had surgery, was it Thursday? It was Friday. And, you know, insurance company did what insurance companies do. They crawfished on him and, you know, had the schedule had to be postponed. So just kind of remember that situation there. And then, you know, Barbara and Gary, still trying to get some discernment on what the Lord would have them do as far as Miss Barbara's treatment being, you know, what it is and everything. So remember them and Miss Ashley, Brenda's daughter Ashley, you know, with that POTS or whatever, and then they said her medicine's making her sick and everything. But you know, so remember these. Who else has got a request you want to make mention of this morning?
Remember my neighbor Joyce? She's the lady that came with me for revival.
Mm-hmm.
She's got some kind of mass in her stomach.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty big. And she goes tomorrow to find out what it is.
Okay, so they've already done tests and she's finding the results.
Well, she had to have a heart valve replacement a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to go every 5 years for a CT scan to keep a check on that. And that's how it was found.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, just remember her. We pray that, you know, it's something that can be easily taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, with God, it's easy, but
right.
You know, just His will.
Amen. Yeah, speaking of which, remember Mama too. Her them trying to shock her heart and get back in rhythm. It's supposed to be on the 10th. As far as I know, it's still going to happen. So pray for that. Our pastor mentioned this morning. He's been having some stomach trouble too. So remember that before we give him some ease from that. Give him some help. Yeah, you know, doctor's trying to figure out what it is, and they can't figure it out.
I quit with the doctors. I quit on the bed. I paid them enough. You know, they took blood, and I've done every scan, and the colonoscopy, and all that, and they ain't figured nothing out. They ain't going to figure nothing out.
I don't know. It might be 3 o'clock in the morning, brownies. I don't know.
That's my regular occurrence.
Yeah, I have to ask him about that story. That was a pretty good story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Do you remember this? And just always remember our pastor before we got him.
Amen.
And use him, help him, you know, show him what the church needs to do and what way we need to go. Because fact of the matter is that's the biblical plan, is that God leads the church through the pastor. Some don't like to admit it, but you know, there where it talks about the qualifications for a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible uses the word bishop. Now, we don't typically use that word, and I think it's mainly to distinguish between ourselves and some of these folks that have this hierarchical mess where they're really reporting to a man instead of to God, because they kind of have co-opted that word. In fact, the matter is that's the word that the Bible uses, and that word bishop means overseer.
Yeah.
People don't like that, because it's just, you know, there wants to be a bunch of chiefs and not no Indians, but the fact of the matter is God made the pastor the head of the church under Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the head of the church, and the pastor is his man, his emissary to the church, to lead the church in the way there to go. So we're to pray for him, and, you know, to ask God to give him guidance, and you know, then in the Lord to follow that. Right? That's what we're to do, so we should be praying for them on that. Who else has got a request this morning? All right, that's all. I'll come pray.
Remember, Brother Donald, he's in the hospital. He's had surgery again this morning.
Yeah, oh, Mr. Smith, Glenn mentioned this morning. I was saying, I can't remember. But he's the one that Glenn mentioned that had that lung cancer, the same spot on the lung. Cooper, would you like to speak?
It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning.
Hey.
You know, thank God for loving me. We got a foundation study coming up at the end of this month. I'll just turn that over. This thing on. Get a button, I think. Probably do push it in.
There you go.
I just frame it like that so that, you know, we're not just, you know,
it'll help you search the scripture.
Yeah.
It's not about what he's done. What he's done is everything on the cross, right? But he couldn't have done that without being who he is.
Right.
So it is about who he is, huh? Say that. Amen. Why y'all got such long faces this morning? Y'all need to perk up. Amen. Y'all should have been in the Sunday school class.
Yeah.
We had a good time. Learned about this morning, the Sunday school lesson was, remember we are not alone.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's blessed. That's going to be good. I know the Lord worked that out for Glenn. He always does, but he don't have much teaching.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord works it out because the Lord messaged to him and preached this morning when you said that. When you read the title of that lesson this morning, I thought, man, ain't God good?
Yeah.
You know, ain't he amazing? He just does. He amazes me. He's an amazing God.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. He works things out you and I just don't understand.
Yeah.
We just never understand. And I thank God for that. I'm like Richard Matthew, that first night of revival, it was just blowing my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
The things that Preacher Adam was bringing out to light, and it just you know, basically was, it fell right in line with what I've been preaching for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just, and he didn't know nothing about that. It ain't like we collaborated or nothing, you know. It's just the Lord knows what he's doing.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. He knows what we need.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But I appreciate that. But it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning.
Amen.
And I thank God for it. I know we've got a few missing this morning. There's some sick and different things, and I don't know what all. But I'm thankful to be here. Amen.
Yes, amen.
I can tell you it's God called me for this purpose. And I don't want to sound ugly or mean, but if not one of you showed up, I'd come preach. That's what God called me to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, it disappoints me.
Yeah.
I'm still going to do it. You know why? Because I know this God rewards faithfulness.
Yes, amen.
Now, I'm going to be held accountable not for what you do.
Right.
I'm going to be accountable for what I do.
Amen.
My job is to give you the Word of God, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Whether it hurts your feelings or not.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah.
My job is not to be a babysitter. My job is not to hold your hand. My job is not to cater to you every whim.
Yeah.
And to you know, come and... That's y'all's job with each other. All that. Amen?
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
That is y'all's job. And we also have deacons. That's their jobs. Is to do that and to minister. My job is specifically to lead and to bring the Word of God to your ears.
Yeah, amen.
That is my job.
Yeah.
And I do want to do my best with everything in me to fulfill my job.
Yeah.
Amen. And so my prayer is that you just do your job and open your heart here.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Before we get started, I know that we had some girls that wanted to sing. I missed them. That's not a revival. Y'all want to sing this morning before we get started? Amen. Y'all go ahead and come on. We got Brother Charles and Miss Jerry's going to sing for us. Or is it just you, Brother Charles? Just him? All right. Y'all pray for him this morning. He asked me to pray for him as he comes this morning. Y'all go ahead and come on and sing. We got us a, what was it? We got a, what do you call this?
Quintet? Quintet?
Yeah. I'm talking about the way it sounds. Oh, never mind. We got a trio to do that. I'm sorry.
Glory to His name.
yet. Here.
I know. Oh, here I am, Lord, ask me one more time. It's me again, Lord.
Charles, I love hearing you say.
Yes.
I hope you know that. I
thing, man. You know, whenever I listen to secular music, all the time, one of my favorites was old country music. That's what he reminds me of. He reminds me of old country singer. He sounds like somewhere between Marty Robbins and George Jones. He does. I appreciate all of our singers here, but I'm just partial to that old sound. Like,
yeah.
That's I guess you could say my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Anyways, Captain Bibles, let's turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 2. Ephesians in chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number two. I'll begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "You have he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus,
yes.
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There it is again, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's look at verses 11 and 12. This is where I want to get my thought from this morning. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ."
Amen.
I'm going to preach on this thought this morning. Brother Glenn talked in Sunday school room this morning. Remember that we're not alone.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the Spirit of God is with us everywhere that we go. I'm going to preach on this thought. Remember what it is like without God.
Yeah.
Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Father, for you. Word, thank you, God, for giving us, Lord, discernment. Thank you, God, for having mercy on us and being good to us. And Lord, we can't thank you enough for all that you do, and we don't even understand all the many things that you work out in the background. But God, we thank you this morning for allowing us to come into your precious house, Lord, to read your precious word. Lord, to just be able to sit and hear it, God, and worship together. I pray that you give us a spirit of unity. God, that you give us a spirit of peace. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd anoint my lips, God, that I'd exalt the name of Jesus. Lord, that he'd be lifted up this morning, God, I pray. Lord, that you'd be glorified in everything that's done here, that you'd move upon our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we beg. Amen.
Amen.
He says here, after he states what he does there in these first 10 verses of chapter 2, he says, "Wherefore," he said, "because of what I've just said," he said, "considering what I've just told you and considering all that I've just expounded upon,"
He said, I want you to remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by him. I think we need to be reminded in the day and time which we live that God doesn't owe us a thing.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes I mentioned the other night that when revival that we talk about, I said, God's so good to us. You know, sometimes we're just spoiled.
Yeah.
We are. He is so good to us, he literally spoils us today. You know why it ain't good to spoil the youngin'? It's because they won't be faithful. They won't be grateful. They'll start expecting everything.
Yeah.
We got a whole generation. I'm not just talking about people my age. I'm talking about people that's 90 years old. We got a whole generation of people that's spoiled to death. They expect everything. There's all that. It is more prevalent with the younger you go. But it's getting worse all the time. But I would say it's that personal life today that it really is from that old generation that really was thankful for things. I'm sure that there's some that are, and I'm sure a lot of you are. And I try to be thankful for things, but even I find myself that I have times of just being ungrateful for how good that God is. Amen.
Yes.
I have the times that I'm just ungrateful for all the blessings I've got in my life. Sometimes I find that I can't find joy at times, even though I've got every reason in my life to be joyful. Man, that thing is just right there wanting to get right on me. But I have all kinds of times where I find that no matter how good things are, sometimes I'm just still in a place where I just don't have the joy like I ought to.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that. And sometimes we don't understand all that. But I know this, that sometimes it does some good to be reminded that God doesn't owe us anything.
Right.
Amen. He has never given you and I, being that we are Gentiles, understand this.
Yeah.
He has never given a covenant to you and I to say, this is what I will do for you. Now, he's told Israel some things that he'll do for the Gentiles, but he's never spoke to the Gentiles and said, this is what I'll do for you. Understand this, that whenever we're talking about the promises of God, those are promises that have been made to you and I through his word, because that Jesus died and bled on the cross. Hey, I am not of the seed of Abraham.
Right.
You are not of the seed of Abraham. God doesn't owe me a thing. He doesn't owe you a thing. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't even owe them over there in Israel a thing. But just because he said that he would, he's going to do what he said. But he doesn't owe you and I a thing. That's why it says, wherefore remember, you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called us. That word Gentiles just means that we are not Israelites.
Right.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
It means that we are not Jews, that we are not God's chosen people. Matter of fact, the Bible calls Jesus said this about our kind. This is what he said. And you can say, well, that might be, you could go to the nowadays, he'd be called a racist. He'd be called some kind of phobe. He'd be called some kind of prejudiced or something. He said, it's not good to take that the children's bread and give it to the dogs. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about the Gentiles.
Yeah.
He said, you don't take what is meant for the children. He's talking about the children of Israel.
Yeah.
He said, and give it to the dogs. And the woman that he's talked to, she said, yes, sir. She said, but, master, she said, the dogs come and eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table.
Yeah.
And he said, great is your faith. He said, your daughter will be healed. But I want to say this. It was because that she had faith in him. And she understood this fact. She said, I understand, Lord, that you don't owe me a thing.
Right.
She said, but I'm going to reach out. I know that you're good. And I know that your table's so full that there's blessings that's running off of it. That even just one of the crumbs is enough that I can just take that if I could get it. And he said, great is your faithfulness. Hey, I'm going to say this. We'd feel a whole lot more blessed. We'd be a whole lot more better off if we'd just realize that you and I ain't nothing, that we ain't deserved nothing, that God don't owe you and I a thing. There ain't one thing that I've done, there ain't one prayer that I've prayed that God owes me anything. Just the crumbs that fall off the table is enough to bless me more than I know what to do with.
Yeah.
It's enough to bless you more than you know what to do with.
Yeah.
Hey, we ought to just be thankful to be sitting down there at the edge of the table. Amen. He said, remember this, us being Gentiles. He's talking to the church in Ephesus. Look at the context. Understand that Ephesus was a Gentile city. It was not a place that was part of Israel. It was part of the Roman Empire. It was full of Gentiles and full of pagans before.
Yeah.
That's why he says, you are called uncircumcision. By those which you call the circumcision in the flesh, which is fed by hands.
Yeah.
He also notes the fact to say that God don't owe you anything. Mm-hmm. We're not his chosen people.
Right.
But that Israel themselves, that's why it says that they call themselves the circumcision. By the flesh is made by hands.
Yeah.
Now, God had called them to circumcise them so that they were set apart. But at the same time, what it's referred to there is it's referred to the fact that they like to keep all the parts of the law that made them look better.
Yeah.
But there was other things that they just completely ignored. Mm-hmm. Namely, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If you get through this life and you come to church every Sunday,
yeah.
You get through this life, you quit cussing, you don't do that no more, you quit drinking, you don't do that no more. And you get through this life and everything about the appearance of your life seems that you are a child of God, that still won't be enough to get you into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen, yeah.
It takes the same thing for you, it takes the same thing for that little boy sitting out there in front of you,
yeah.
As it took for me, as it takes for a murderer that's locked up in jail. It takes the same thing for every one of us, that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It is not by works. That's why he said, it's not by works lest any man should boast. He said, you're saved by grace. Amen.
Amen.
I need Jesus. Amen. You need Jesus. Every lost person, man, woman, and child, they need Jesus in order to be saved. It doesn't matter if they're a Jew or a Gentile. Amen.
That's right.
The same need Jesus. But because these Jews, this is what they do, the worst thing that they do is they reject Jesus Christ as Messiah.
Yeah.
They reject him as Messiah. Don't make the mistake of rejecting Jesus. You say, well, I've never rejected Jesus. Preacher, I want to say this. There's been times since God saved me that I've rejected Jesus.
Yeah.
You say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? There's been times I've been mad.
Uh-huh.
I've been bitter about something. I just want to take things in my own hands. I want to do something about something, you know. And then here the Spirit of God comes in. You think, you know, they'll say, what would Jesus do? That's just a little old simple thing. They put it on bracelets and youngins wear it. But when you really sit and you think about it sometimes, a lot of times we don't want to do what Jesus would do we?
Yeah.
We want to do things our way. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, and then there is destruction. That's why he said that it's good for you, it's expedient for you that I go, for if I go, I'll sit and come. That's what we was talking about this morning in the Sunday school room. How that he sent the Holy Spirit of God. You know, sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know why? Because we want him to go away. We want to do it our way. We say, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Don't bother me with that. I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to be bothered by that. You know why God wants us to live righteously? It's not for his benefit. What benefit is it to God if you obey God? Does it make him more God? Does it make him better off somehow? Does it make him more comfortable? No, it does not. You know what it benefits? It benefits you and I.
Amen.
Guess what happens whenever you quit drinking? You're happy because that just depresses your, what's that hormone that there is? The same thing with drugs and alcohol. As a hormone in your body releases, I can't think of what
that
it
means.
Is.
Huh? Dopamine.
That's what they call drugs. Dopamine. It forces your body to release dopamine. And what happens is each time that you begin to get drunk, or each time you begin to get high, or whatever the case may be, and they can even do this. They can do this with any kind of addiction. There's pornography addictions. There's people who are addicted to fornication and all kinds of things like that. And any of those things, they do the same thing. It forces your body to release dopamine. And after so many times of that force released, your body does not want to release it naturally. So what happens whenever you stop those things that God wants you to stop? Then it makes your body start naturally releasing dopamine. So then you're able to have joy back in your life without having those things. The same thing goes for being honest. Not lying. Guess what? People like all these people. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
You ever let anybody that tells tales? Careful what you tell them. Careful what you hear from them, right? Mm-hmm. But if you know somebody's honest, you can trust them. It's good to have somebody else. You know, my dad said one time here a while back, he said, God has been so good to me to bless me to have children I can trust.
Yes.
I'll just be honest with you. I don't know. Is this on Facebook?
No, it's not.
To avoid taxes, he puts everything in his kid's name. He don't have nothing in his name. He's got like a little Toyota car in his name, and he don't got nothing else in it. Everything else he owns, he puts it in my own sister's name. And he's talking about how blessed he is to have kids he can trust. He said, you know, he don't know a whole lot of people that's got three grown kids that you can trust with that much trust into to be able to do that and then not take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And so he's talking about how blessed it is. And so whenever you got people that you trust, those people mean a lot to you, even if they're not family. Some of you got people that ain't even in your family that you trust, but just having somebody that you can trust. I got friends that I talk to every week, and I know I can trust a lot of people, but I've got certain ones that I can talk to, and I can really tell them how I feel, and I can trust that it stays between us.
Yes. Yes.
And they know the same about me. I can trust my wife. That's what makes me love her so much, is that I can trust her, amen?
Yes.
I wouldn't be able to have the affection for her that I do if I didn't trust her, right?
Right.
And so being trustworthy is an attribute that helps you. It doesn't help God, it helps you. Everything that God wants from you in your life is not for His benefit, but it's for your own benefit.
Amen.
That's why He gives the Comforter. That's why He sent the one that'll lead you into all truth. That's why we've got somebody that walks with us through this life. That's why we've got God. That's not God Jr. That's not a part of God. That's not a little bit of God. That is God.
Amen.
It lives inside of you. That's why Jesus said, He said, it's expedient for you that I go. They said, they didn't want Him to go. He said, I've got to go back to the Father. And they said, we don't want you to go. I want you to stay here with us. You're the Son of God. Just stay and walk with us. He said, look, you don't understand. He said, right now, He said, I'm walking beside you. He said, I know that means something to you. He said, I know it feels good to have you beside you. He said, but what I'm talking about is when I go back to the Father, He said, the one I'm going to send, He said, it's going to be me inside of you. He said, I'm not just going to be beside of you. He said, I work from the inside out. Amen. Amen. Hey, what I've got is better than what Peter had. It's better than what John had. Hey, I want to say this. Notice this, that whenever they were walking with Jesus, did they ever once preach and 3,000 people get saved? No. Jesus done no miracles. As far as I know, I never even read where it says that great of a number was ever converted whenever Jesus spoke. That could have been, we don't know.
Right.
But we haven't read that number. But I know this. Jesus said this. He said, these works you do and greater than these.
Yep.
He said, why? He said, because I'll send you a comforter. He said, I'll send you someone that'll be with you. He said, you know what that is? He said, that's God. That's not little God. That's not a part of God. That is God in full effect.
Yes.
Living inside of you and active.
Amen.
Hey, I want to say that's a blessing to my heart.
Amen.
That would be a blessing to your heart this morning. That in this old dirty, stinking, rotten vessel, that the Holy, Holy, Holy Spirit of God is willing to come and inhabit this body. Hey, I want to say this body of flesh is the vessel of the Holy Spirit. It's been accessed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way that a holy, holy God could come to inhabit something this low down and dirty, filthy, is that if it was made pure, if it was made clean, if it was made holy, just as the Lord is holy, that's what the blood of Jesus purchased for me. And whenever He said, I go to be with the Father, it's expedient that I go. He said, it's good for your behalf. So as Peter walked beside Jesus, God revealed things to Peter. We know that. Before he received the Spirit of God, He said, blessed are you, Peter. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. because Peter told us that thou art the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
But then later, on the day of Pentecost, we're waiting. Jesus is ascended. He's been crucified. He was buried. He rose on the third day. He was with them 40 days and 40 nights. And he went and he ascended back into heaven to be back with the Father, just as he said he's going to do. And there they are, they're waiting. And they're waiting. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God enters in them all voice. And Peter gets out there and he gets to preaching. They said 3,000 got saved. So he's preaching and said, the Spirit of God was moving so much that the people were hearing in their own language. As the people there speaking, I think, four different languages. He said, never man heard in his own language.
Yeah.
Because the Spirit of God was moving.
Yeah.
That wasn't an eloquence. You realize Peter was just old country boy.
Yeah.
He wasn't an educated. This ain't Paul we're talking about here.
Right.
Peter, he's a little rough around the edges.
Yeah.
He is a little bit like me.
Yeah.
He didn't have much eloquence. But whenever he preached in the power of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And that's what God had done.
Amen. Amen.
That's what God had accomplished. You know why? Because there's a power outside of Peter. There was a working in and through Peter. And that he was there working. How to say this? Peter is not the only one that has that. He didn't have more of it than I do. Like I said, it's the 100% God. I've got access to the same power that Peter did. I want to say, if you're saved this morning by the grace of God, you have access to the same power that Peter did that day. You know what we do, though? We live beneath our privilege. We live beneath the power that God's called us to. I want to say this. We are the children of God by the adoption through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been endowed with the Holy, Holy, Holy Spirit of God. And like you say, well, Brian, keep saying that three times. Because, you know, I don't know, some of you might know, some of you don't know, I don't know. But the Bible tells us on a couple of different occasions that God has created some of the most magnificent beings that you've ever seen in your life. It talks about this in Isaiah chapter 6. Yeah. It talks about this in Revelation. And it says that these beings are there. They were there in Isaiah's day whenever he had a vision and saw the Lord. They were there in John's day whenever he was brought up into heaven and whenever he seen the Lord. And from the time that Isaiah had been there to the time that John got there, they had not stopped. It said that night and day they ceased not. And it said that they cried all day long, all throughout all 24 hours. I know time is not a concept that applies there, but if it was, it would be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year without a day off. It'd be 366 days on a leap year. Whichever way you want to look at it, all the time. You understand what I'm saying? They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They proclaim the holiness of God. That is what they were created for. Now these things, the way it describes them, these cherubs, it says they have six wings.
Yeah.
It says they fly with two of them. With two of them they cover the feet, with two of them they cover the face. And it says that they sing this, and they give these praises to God day and night. And it describes them in such a way that he would be more magnificent of a creature than you and I have ever seen. They are reserved for that one purpose.
Yeah.
So that's why I keep saying holy, holy, holy. I've said this before, let me say this again about those holies. That is an exponential holiness. What I mean by that is the way that Jews wrote things, the way that the people of Israel, the way that their language worked, whenever that they would describe something, like whenever it says verily, verily, what he's saying is this, he's saying seriously. He said this is a serious subject. When he says it twice, verily, verily, he said, of all the things I can tell you that are serious, this is the most serious. That's what he's saying. It's kind of like if we was to say, you know, about a football player or a baseball player, a basketball player, you've got, you know, I can say they're great, or I can say they're great, great, or I can say they're great, 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 right?
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is this. I can say that, you know, Tony Stewart and Kelly Yarbrough and some of these guys that, you know, they're great, right? They stand out, right? And then you've got some others like Jimmy Johnson, and they're great, great. Of all those greats, they really stand out. And then you've got Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty, for Tom's sake. Then you could call them great, great, great. Because of all the great ones, and of all the greatest of those great ones, they are the greatest of the greatest of the great ones. Right?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, the Bible talks about that whenever Moses approached the bush, he said, take off your shoes. He said, for this is holy ground. And the Bible talks about not to go up upon the altar, even walk up the steps of it, because they wore a garment on one place, they didn't wear underwear. And he said, don't walk up the steps for your nakedness to be discovered thereupon. He said, well, that's a holy place whenever they built an altar. And then it talked about when they built the temple, that the inner part of the temple where they done the sacrifice. It said that of all the holy places, that that is the holy of holies.
Yeah.
And it was so holy that they said that a man could not walk into there except that he had already repented of his sins, that it's only meant for the high priest once a year to go into this place. And he had at first had to atone for himself and not had any unconfessed sin in his life, or else he'd go in there and he'd drop dead. They had a rope and a bell tied around his ankle that if he went in there with sin in his life and dropped dead, they could drag him out because they were afraid to walk into that holy of holy place. And then we got these angels in heaven that nonstop declare that the throne of God where he is seated says of all the holy things, the holy places. And of all the holiest of holy things, thou art the holiest of the holiest of the holy things.
Yeah.
That God.
Yeah.
That God lives inside of me.
Amen. Yeah.
Works inside of me. Works through us. He says, remember. When before, you wouldn't know that. Remember, when before, it wasn't because of who mom and daddy was or what church you belonged to or what who the pastor or the preacher was. Remember this, that each and every one of us, the only thing that we are owed is judgment.
Yep.
Why? Because all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. He says, remember, again in verse 12, he says this. He says, and that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He says, do you remember what it was like before you had Jesus? You know, sometimes we don't want to remember what it's like. I'm not talking about reveling in sin. That's not something you should ever do. I'm just talking about remembering how depraved and how decrepit life was and how pointless life was. See, sometimes we grieve the Spirit of God. We say, I want to do it my way. I don't want you bothering me no more about that. Why don't you just leave me alone and let me be? Lord, why can't I just lay out a service or two and I need to get some stuff caught up around the house, or I'd rather just go fishing, or I'm just tired and I just want to lay in the bed, or I'd rather just sit there and watch Facebook reels on my phone, or whatever it is you're going to do. Hey, I'm going to say this. Be careful. God might just give you what you want. Sometimes we need to remember what it is like without God, without Christ. How is your life? You know, I'm going to tell you how my life was. There was times I had fun. I didn't worry about nothing. But every time something would go wrong, every time something went my way, it just drive me crazy. It bothered me to death. I'd get mad and I'd pitch a fit and I'd want to do something about it. I want to say this. Whenever you've got Christ working in your heart, you can have peace about any and every situation. You ought to have peace about any and every situation. Sometimes we grieve the Spirit of God. We don't want Christ in our lives. He says in verse 2 of Ephesians 2, he said, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. you ever, don't sit there and dwell on something that you shouldn't have, you know God doesn't want you to have. You know why? The Bible says this, that lust, when it is finished, or I'm sorry, lust conceives sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings death.
Yeah.
If you just keep letting yourself want something, you say, well, I know I ain't supposed to have that. I know I ain't supposed to do that. Don't let yourself keep wanting.
Right.
The Bible says that in times past, remember what it's like without God? You can get away with that. Right? It said you fulfill the desires of the flesh. Fulfill the desires of the mind. Whatever that you wanted, you could just go get it. You didn't have to worry about being convicted about it, even if you had a moral attitude to have a conscience to say, well, this might be wrong. But oh well, everybody else does it. They get away with it. You know, it's just, hey, so many people does this. Hey, so many people watches this. Hey, so many people listens to this. They drink this. They smoke that. They do all this. It don't matter. Hey, so many other people do it. That's what you young people are listening to me right now. That's what they'll tell you about fornication. And if you don't know what that is, then that's because you're too young to understand. And one of these days you'll be older and you'll understand and you'll know what it is. But until then, you just trust me to know this, that it's something you don't want to be no part of.
Right.
But I want to say this, everybody else will be doing it. Everybody else is already doing it, so what does it matter? Why would I want to be different? You don't tell me why? Because God is not keeping something from you. Sweetheart, He is saving it for you.
Yeah.
It is something that God wants to give you as a treasure, and you're going to miss out on the blessing if you don't watch it.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, whenever I was lost, whenever you were lost without God, without Christ, you could get away with all them things. You say, well, yeah, well, wouldn't that be a simpler time? I don't know, was it? You know why? Because the Bible says here that in time past when we walked according to the course of this world, it says that we walked also according to the prince of the power of the air. It's talking about Satan.
Yeah.
It says that in time past, whenever you walked according to the way that you wanted to, you thought you was doing it the way you wanted to, you wasn't.
Right.
You was doing it the way the devil wanted you to.
Right. Yeah.
The Bible says this. It says that also it says in time past, we walked according to says the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience. It says, well, verse 3, among whom also we all had a conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It says, you was doing it your way, right? You was getting all that you wanted. Nothing would stop you. Nothing was hindering you. Nothing was holding you back and reaching out and taking what you wanted. But the Bible says this. It says that as we've done that, it says, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about that by nature we were conforming ourselves to this world. By nature we were molding our destiny into hellfire and judgment for eternity against sin. By nature we were doing that. And so as we think that we're getting what we want, hey, I'll tell you, the scariest thing that's ever happened to mankind is that God give him what he wants.
Yeah.
Bible says in Romans 1, I mentioned this, and I preached on this, and I ain't going to read all of it. There is a seven-stage path to apostasy that you read in Romans 1. And I'll just read here a few verses. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, pay attention, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. It's talking about because they were unthankful, but they also thought themselves to be wise. They thought they knew more than God did. They didn't care what the Word of God said. They would still go their way. Sometimes you can be like that. Be careful, you're on a path. It said, and they changed the glory of the corruptible God into the image made like the corruptible man, the birds, the four-footed beasts, the creeping things. Be careful what you worship. You say, well, of course I worship God. Do you really? Because if you worship God, there ain't nothing going to keep you away from God. Do you worship God or do you worship your job? Do you worship God or do you worship the boat or the lake? Do you worship God or do you worship some other hobby? says, wherefore, because of this, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God took the reins off and let them go. He said, you want to fornicate? He said, you want to live in sexual immorality? He said, go ahead. And so that's what they do. It's strange to me how that you girls and ladies and young women especially listen to me and listen carefully. Men have got young women this day and time fooled. Men are so much smarter than young girls. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, every young girl in the world, they assume that they're smarter than men, right? But yet these men are the ones pushing for all this feminism. And you need to be empowered. And you need to do things your way. Don't let no man tell you what to do. Oh, by the way, how you do this is you dress really provocatively. And you sleep with anybody and everybody. That's how you're supposed to do this. You ain't gonna see no feminist that's wearing a dress down her heels. And you ain't gonna see no feminist that's out here got her breast covered up and ain't got on, you know, just some kind of, they all gonna look wild and provocative. And I promise you, they live in the same way. I don't assume they are. You say, well, preacher, y'all not judge. Bible tells you discernment, amen.
Yeah.
Bible says a good tree bears good fruit, a corrupt tree bears evil fruit.
Yeah.
To use discernment is what the Bible tells us. I want to say this. I promise you, honey, that if you dress like that, these men will think bad of you.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So don't dress like that, and men won't think that of you. If you dress modest, men will assume that you must be modest.
Yeah.
You know what? If you dress modest, the young one of these little old Casanovas will be afraid. He will not have any confidence to even try to throw any kind of innuendos at you. Amen?
Yeah.
But the Bible says that here in Romans 1, it says he gave them up to dishonor to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's talking about sexual immorality. And then it says in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. It says they changed the truth of God into a lie. So what does that mean? It means they corrupt the Word of God.
Yeah.
It says, well, they don't mean that. The preacher's wrong. The Bible's wrong. Anyway, it's been that you read that wrong. That's what they say about everything.
Yeah.
When any time they're convicted, any time God's trying to press on their heart, well, they're wrong about that. I think it's really supposed to be interpreted this way. They change the truth of God. Be careful, you're on path. The Bible says, for this cause, verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat.
Yeah.
I believe that's a direct reference to STDs. That's what's meant.
Yeah.
It says they received a recompense from our heir, which was feeding.
Yeah.
Which was meat, which was feeding.
Bore that up.
Homosexuality is one of the last stages of apostasy.
Yeah.
Total apostasy means that you are reprobate, means that you cannot be saved, that you will not be saved. You say, I don't know somebody's reprobate, you don't.
Right.
Even if they're homosexual, you don't know.
Right.
Why? Because the last stage is this. It says, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, what did they like to do? They liked to keep God out. He said they did not like to retain. What does it mean to retain? It means to hold on to it, right?
Yeah.
It's referring to, they did not even want the inkling of the thought of God in the back of their heads.
Right.
They said, you know what? They went through all these stages. They said, we don't even want to hear. What is it that makes a homosexual so mad about the fact that you and I agree with the Word of God? They blame you and I, but really the problem they have is with God.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. Understand that they're on a slippery slope. And understand this, that if you reject the Spirit of God even in your own life, they don't tell you it's a dangerous place to play around with.
Right.
Sometimes the worst thing that God can do for mankind is to give them what they want, because that's what what it said he does. It says, even as they did not like to retain God their knowledge, he gave them over to reprobate mind.
Yeah, amen.
He said, you don't want to think about me? He said, you don't want me in your way? He said, fine, I'll remove myself out of the equation.
Sure.
That's the scariest thing that can happen to somebody. But I want to say this, that even if you're saved, praise God, I'm glad you can't lose your salvation. But I want to say this, if you grieve the Spirit of God, you run from the Spirit of God, you want to do things your way, hey, be careful, God might just let you have things your way.
Yeah.
You say, well, I just want to get away with this, I want to get away with that. And I want to tell you, there's penalties to that.
Yeah.
I promise you this, I know this, you can sin, you'll still go to heaven if you're saved.
Yeah.
Why? Because the blood of Christ is what saved you.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, you'll pay for that sin. You'll pay dearly for that sin. It might cost you. It might cost you your marriage. It might cost you your loved ones. It might cost you somebody that you love. It might cost you your health. It might cost you years you've got on this earth. It might cost you your joy. It might cost you your peace. But one way or the other, I promise you, you'll pay for that sin.
Amen.
Yeah. Bible says this. Remember what it was like without God. We think that sometimes we want to think that it's all right, and I miss when I used to get away with sin. You miss when you was by nature the children of wrath. Do you miss the fact that you wasn't doing what you wanted anyway? You was being blinded and led by the Spirit of God. Hey, what God's done for you ain't bondage.
Right.
They ain't a set of rules that God's given you and said, this is the way you're going to do this, this, this. It's freedom.
Yeah.
We've been set free from the power of sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
There's freedom in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's why he said to stand in the liberty wherewith Christ had called you to be free. Amen.
Amen.
Freedom from the law and freedom from the bondage of sin doesn't mean I'm free to sin.
Right.
It means that though I'm a sinner, I'm free. I'm free to get as close to God as I want to get.
Amen.
That even though I'm unworthy, this vessel shouldn't have anything to do with that holy, holy, holy God.
Yeah.
That I am free to approach to the throne of grace, preacher. That I am free to come near to the cross. That I am free to go and grab hold of the throne of God Almighty, the Creator. And to shake it and to beg. The Bible says I can come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
I'm free to do that. You're free to do that.
Amen.
He says this. I'm about done. I know I'm long today. I'm sorry. I didn't get to preach all week. I got preached to and it got me excited. He says this. He says, times passed without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God. Lord, I'll give you a few thoughts. I'm about done. I'm going to get to verse 13 real quick. He said, we were without Christ. He said, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. I mean, we were outsiders. We did not belong. We did not belong with those that had received the promise. You and I have been brought in by adoption. You and I have been brought in because Jesus has come and rested into our lives and spoke to us. It says us who were strangers from the covenants of promise. They were foreign to us. Just because you were raised in church doesn't mean that you were not a foreigner to the covenants that God had promised. That's what it means, that we're strangers, we're foreigners. We didn't belong there. We had no citizenship there. We had no rights under those covenants. We had no rights under those promises.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He says this. He says, and having no hope. No hope. Whenever I was lost, God convicted me of sin, I had no hope. I don't say it's a lost man or woman has no hope. Unless they repent of their trust in Christ. Now, having known Jesus, no matter what happens, I don't care if Kamala Harris gets elected. My hope ain't in the president. My hope is in Jesus.
Christ.
Amen.
Imagine what some of your colleagues and friends and neighbors is going to do if Donald Trump doesn't win the election.
Yeah.
They're going to go all pieces.
Yeah.
And for good reason, gas prices are going to go up. It's going to be a mess. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
But I know God will see it through.
Yeah, amen.
That's where my hope's at.
Yeah.
Amen.
Before it happened, imagine if you had to put all your hope in man. How beautiful that would be. It says, and without God in the world, sometimes I, in my foolishness, I think, God, if you just let me alone for a little bit, I'll take care of this. God, if you just let me alone, wouldn't bother me. I think this right here would really make me happy if I just do things my way. Then I'm reminded of what it's like to be in the world without God. It says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made nigh means brought near.
Right.
Brought up close and personal. That's what Jesus has purchased for you. Don't ever grieve the fact God saved you and put His Spirit inside of you. If you're lost, don't ever fear the fact that God will draw you up close to Him. Hey, you know what? I remember when God dealt with me about sin, I remember thinking, well, they said some things, I don't think I'll be able to stop this. You know, I'm a sinner, I'm still a sinner.
Yeah.
But I don't live in sin.
Right.
Amen. Whenever I was lost, I lived in sin.
Yeah.
Whenever you're lost, that's what you do. You live in sin.
But
I want to say this, whenever God saved me and He put that Spirit in me, I was worried and I was scared that I was going to miss out on some things. When you're young and you get sent to bed, if me and Stephanie's ever up, you know, we want to watch a movie or anything else together, you want to send the youngest to bed, it just kills them. What are they going to miss out on? They're worried to death about what they're going to miss out on. And sometimes when I was lost, you know, that's the way I felt. I felt like, you know, what am I going to miss out on? I give this all to God, but I will tell you this, I ain't missed a thing.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I ain't missed a thing. Matter of fact, I was missing out before.
Yeah.
Amen. I was missing out before. I'll say if you're lost this morning, you're missing out. There ain't nothing worth holding on to in this world. What in this world is worth going to hell with? You tell me one thing in this world that you like or enjoy that's worth hell. If you had $1 billion, and you can buy everything you want, would it be worth spending an eternity in heaven? I want to say this, that Jesus Christ, the Bible says, by the blood of Jesus, brought us near to that holy God. Amen. If nothing in this world is worth missing heaven, if nothing in this world is worth going to hell over, if nothing in this world is worth missing heaven, if you're saved, then why do you revel in those things? Why do you reminisce about them things, desire them things, and let yourself just continue to want those things? Why don't you crucify your desires? Amen. That's what the Bible says. I'm not just talking about the words. I'm talking about the desires.
Yeah.
If the desire goes away and the desire changes, hey, I don't say you can start to have joy and peace. I want my desire for anything in this day and time to be to serve God. You know why? Because that's what really brings me happiness. That's what really brings me joy.
Yeah.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. I know I've been long this morning. I'm sorry. It ain't too much past time that we usually get up here. Y'all can forgive me. But I'm going to ask you this before we go. Is anybody here this morning? Please come to this altar. Say, Lord, I'm reminded this morning what it was like without you. I just want to say thank you for not letting me stay in that way. If you're here this morning and God's convicting you and you're lost, why don't you come this morning and say, God, I know I'm lost and I want you to save me. He's a big God and He's able this morning. There ain't nothing out there in that world worth holding on to that's going to make you miss heaven.
name of Jesus, for his cleansing power.
And wash the blood.
Father, I thank you this morning, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for bringing it to my attention, Lord. It would be me, Lord, just too often, Lord. I grieve the fact that you pulled me back so many times from doing things and saying things and thinking things I shouldn't. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me just to enjoy it. Lord, just to be blessed, God, to know how blessed I am, just to have your spirit with me always, Lord, working in me and through me. God, what a blessing it is just to know you. Have you on my side. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for my family. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy each and every day. And I thank you, God, for sending your own spirit, God, that you might just reside in a sinner like me. That you work in me through. What a blessing it is to be a part of your kingdom, to be able to labor for the gospel, Lord. I pray that you help me to continue to do so. Give me boldness, give me strength, give me wisdom and discernment. And give me a heart, Lord, to want to love you and other people, Lord. Just to follow you in every way. I pray that you be with each and every one that's in this congregation this morning, in this church, and help us to grow in spirit and in truth, Lord. I pray, God, that you help us to fervently live a life that glorifies you. That you take the words that's been preached here this morning, sow it in their hearts, God, that we might not sin against you, but that we be sanctified and drawn closer to the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's in his name we beg this morning. Amen. Well, remember, you didn't get a chance to write that with Sunday school question on what makes God good? Is that like separate? Why is God good? What makes God good? Same thing. You know, some of that nature you've got to give. Is there anything else I think that matters? Karen, was anything else?
Well, the women's prayer was the 19th of September.
19th. The 28th, we're doing something anyway.
Four Mays.
Shelby, is that the same place we went last year? I went down there years ago, and they had this slingshot where you shoot apples, potatoes, or something. And they had a great big old cow or something on the other side of the road. The buffalo. They got them buffaloes on the other side of that road. And I pulled that slingshot back, and you had to shoot this old junk car. And I pulled it back as far as I could. It's for about kids, but I got a hold of it, and I pulled it way back here. And I shot that apple. They hit that buffalo on the other side of the road. But they didn't faze him, Doug. He just kind of like, he just like looked at it, and went, he didn't care. But I wonder how many other people done that, because I noticed this last time we packed, they didn't have the big slingshots. maybe they decided that wasn't a good idea for the livestock. It's good to laugh for them. Brother Tony, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Father, in the